This is a podcast from RTE Radio 1.
And the following is the result.
The first count in Galway West.
And it's not easy. Election counts aren't easy for any candidate.
The total poll, 49,944. Boyle votes, 478.
I deem them to be elected.
Hello and welcome to The Constituency. On this week's programme, 7 Doyle seats in 2 Dublin constituencies, West and Midwest. By right, we should be talking about 8 Doyle seats because over the past 5 years, Dublin West has had the largest population growth of any of the 43 constituencies. The preliminary census figures show that since 2002, this constituency, which includes areas like Blanchardstown, Palmerstown and Mulhuddard, has seen its population grow by an astonishing 27%. Yet it will only elect 3 TDs, giving it the highest population per TD in the state. Neighbouring Dublin Midwest is gaining an extra seat, going from 3 to 4. This constituency was contested for the first time in 2002. It includes the huge suburbs of Clondalkin and Lucan, as well as what have traditionally been more rural areas like Newcastle. Now, later we'll be hearing from a couple of these constituencies' best-known representatives. But first, Fergus Sweeney reports on the changing face of the west side of Dublin.
As a resident, I'm very glad Liffey Valley is there.
Liffey Valley is a huge shopping centre and retail park in North Clondalkin.
Full of clothes shops and a few shoe shops, a Tuttle's and some eating places and really not much else.
Well, it's also got a cinema, a hotel, massive car parking facilities, but it's not quite what those who live in the area were promised when Liffey Valley was built in the late 1990s.
We were going to have all the amenities that we didn't have, that North Clondalkin didn't have at all.
Like what?
Like a proper supermarket, library, post office, all the things that, you know, that wasn't there. So that was going to be great.
Bernie Farrell lives next to Liffey Valley in Quarry Vale Estate. That's a huge local authority housing area in need of a town centre and all the amenities that go with it. The people of Quarry Vale feel cut off from Liffey Valley, which is actually their designated town centre.
There's no pedestrian ways. There's not even traffic lights if you're coming out of Quarry Vale to go to the hotel or to access the new pub, the Ark. There you have 3 roads to cross. There is no lights. You're taking your life in your hands because there's just ongoing traffic all the time. It's like a motorway.
See you, Angela. Bye, little man.
In Bon Oak, which is in southwest Clondalkin, local woman Marion Freeman told me she was concerned about young people in the area.
I mean, you can see children of 5 and 6 and they're afraid of nobody.
Antisocial behaviour, says Marion, is a major problem.
There's a lot of things like breaking trees and writing on walls and graffiti and that kind of stuff. And like a little 7 or 8 year old, if you said something, would tell you where to go.
Michelle Cairns works in community development in Bon Oak. She agrees that safety is a major issue.
I suppose people don't feel as safe as they used to. We have a community safety forum project, and recently that project, the people in that project asked for, made a submission to the Minister for Justice to get extra guards locally, because I think people feel that we need more visible guards on the street, community guards.
Better community policing may well be needed in Clondalkin, but it won't be easy, according to Marion Freeman.
A lot of the young people up here wouldn't have, I don't think, a great respect kind of for the police. You know, there were times when they would feel the police were a bit heavy-handed or that, you know what I mean? But they haven't got the community police. Children kind of talk very derogatively of the police and that they don't feel. Now, I know the police have a hard job to do and maybe they have to come across a bit heavy-handed sometimes, and I'm not putting them down or anything here, but like they haven't got that report, I suppose, really, with the children.
Clondalkin is an area that's seen massive development and a huge population growth in the last 10 years. But youth facilities are lacking and more resources are needed for families in crisis because of drugs or children dropping out of school. Getting into school is a major issue, with lots of parents in parts of neighbouring Dublin West constituency. Castehini, for example, 10 miles or so from the city centre, has seen a huge increase in houses in the last few years, but families have nowhere to send their children to school.
We have children that are ready to go into secondary school next year and we have nowhere for them to go.
Céline Kinsella is a member of the Castehini Ongar Community Council. They campaigned for a primary school in the area, and when it started in 2001 it had less than 60 pupils. Now it's bursting at the seams with nearly 1,000 pupils. In fact, there are now three primary schools sharing one small site in Castehini, but children in sixth class have no secondary school to go to.
They have applied to other schools outside of the area for places, and up as far as yesterday, they are being refused. There is no spaces in any of the secondary schools for them.
While a site in Ongar has been earmarked for a secondary school, Céline is not overly optimistic that the Department of Education will deliver.
There's no planning permission has gone in for this site. There's no builders on the site. There's no design team being appointed for the secondary school. So until we see all these things, we can't take it at face value that we will have a secondary school, because the way things have gone in these estates, we have to fight for everything we've got. Like the primary school, we had to fight for years to get a primary school. We got a prefab, and then we had to fight again to get a bigger school. And then the school was too small, so we had to go campaign again to make the school bigger.
The Dublin West constituency, comprising Castleknock, Blanchardstown, Clonsilla, as well as Castehini, is one of the fastest growing areas in Ireland. But as we've heard elsewhere, the infrastructure and transport facilities haven't kept pace with development. Fergus Lynch is editor of Community Voice newspaper.
We're getting the houses, but we are not getting the infrastructure to go with them. It's a great place to live, good quality housing generally, excellent amenities like the Blanchardstown Centre, the Phoenix Park, we've cinemas, we've fabulous art centres. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff out here. The big problem is getting in and out of the area. I mean, the roads are appalling, the public transport is appalling. If you talk to people from Ongar, they'll tell you how bus journeys into town at peak times can take between 2 and 3 hours in the morning. We have a rail line that the Maynooth line, which does serve the area. Occasionally there's extra rolling stock added to it, but there's more houses. The houses are going in quicker than the rolling stock. I mean, even the railway stations that have been developed, they've developed them without car parks. So all the estates within any kind of distance of the rail stations in Coolmine, in Roselawn, in up at Clonsilla, Portisgate, the estates, it's crazy now with car parking up and down the estate roads, because Éireann Road Éireann haven't provided car parks to go with them.
Fergus Lynch ending that report from Fergus Sweeney. Dublin Midwest was created under the 1998 boundary review as an amalgamation of parts of Dublin Southwest and parts of Dublin West. Two of those elected in 2002, John Curran of Fianna Fáil and Paul Gogarty of the Greens, were first-time TDs. The third successful candidate was first elected for Fianna Fáil in 1981. Mary Harney went on to become a founder member of the Progressive Democrats and in 1993 leader of that party. But since she stood down last autumn, there have been persistent rumours that she was also considering leaving the Dáil. So I asked her first to confirm that she will be running in the general election.
Absolutely, of course I'm standing in the general election. I wouldn't be staying on as a member of the cabinet if I wasn't going to contest the election. The rumours have been put out, I think, by my political opponents in the constituency. After I stood down as leader of the Progressive Democrats last September and astonished her because I felt it was time to give somebody else an opportunity to lead the party, some people felt, well, if she's standing down as leader, she mustn't be standing in the election. And of course, that's completely untrue. I never intended not running in the next election.
And if the Progressive Democrats, if they are back in government after the next election, would it be your aim to be back at the cabinet table again?
Yes, I would like to be back as Minister for Health, because I believe the programme of reform that I'm driving through needs a couple of years. And I've been Minister for Health now for just 2.5 years. Clearly, it's not my choice. It is a matter, in the first instance, for the electorate to decide that we will be back in government after the election. I very much hope we will, but it will also be a matter for the leader of the party, in this case Michael McDougall. But it would be my hope certainly that I would be returning as Minister for Health after the election.
Looking at your constituency and indeed the neighbouring constituency of Dublin West, there have been huge changes across this entire area over the past decade. We've been hearing from local people who say that change, that it has been badly managed. For instance, they say the public transport is still entirely inadequate.
Well, it's true the constituency has changed from the time I was a young girl growing growing up in Newcastle, going to school there and on to Clondalkin. Lucan was but a small village, and now Clondalkin and Lucan are two of the biggest population centres in the country. It's also true to say that planning generally in Ireland has never included social infrastructure, indeed public transport infrastructure, and that's now changing. The whole new development at Adamstown, for example, in Lucan, includes school facilities, primary care facilities. I approved primary care facilities, and of course we have a massive plan of investment in public transport. So I think huge progress has been made.
But there are still obviously a shortage of school places in many areas.
There are some, but it's improving. A huge investment has gone into the school infrastructure in Clondalkin and Lucan. I think most people would accept that.
On the national picture, does it worry you that in terms of potential coalition partners, Fianna Fáil are already cozying up to Labour and to the Green Party? It's like they've written you out of the picture already.
I don't accept that at all. The coalition government of Fianna Fáil and the Progressive Democrats, which is 9.5 years old and will be 10 years old at the time of the election, has worked extraordinarily well. And the Taoiseach is on record as saying that his preference is to return to government with the Progressive Democrats. I think he realises, as everybody now does, acknowledges that there won't be single party government.
Mary Harney. Well, joining me to take a look at the other contenders are Ken Whelan, who's the former editor of the Gazette Group of newspapers in West Dublin, and Michael O'Regan, who's the parliamentary correspondent with the Irish Times. Ken, I think it's fair to say that in looking at Dublin Midwest, the big surprise here at the last election was Paul Gogarty. Very few people tipped him to take a seat.
Indeed, sort of an unknown. He was young, he was a Green Party, and they literally didn't have a presence there. But because of his local associations with the local Lucan Sarsfields, and that he was popular in the area and built up a good Lucan vote and won the seat.
Michael, the other sitting TD is John Curran of Fianna Fáil. Now, he topped the poll in 2002, albeit by a pretty narrow margin.
Yes, Rachel, and I think he's a safe bet to retain a seat. There's one Fianna Fáil seat there. He's, you know, he's done well as a backbencher. He's impressive. He may not head the poll this time. As of now, I think Mary Harney or Paul Gogarty could head the poll, but certainly John Curran is a safe seat.
Michael, he does have a running mate, but despite the fact that there is obviously going to be an extra seat in this constituency, you won't find many people who reckon that Luke Moriarty can take a seat.
No, I don't think there's a second seat here for Fianna Fáil, bar an exceptional turn of events where you would have a swing to Fianna Fáil. No, that's highly unlikely as we speak. And also, in fact, when you look at the strength of the other candidates, you know, that there's going to be a battle on there. The person to watch here, of course, will be Senator Joanna Tuffy of the Labour Party. Francis Fitzgerald, former TD for Dublin South East, is in the running there, and an independent, Derry Keating. I don't think, given that mix, that Fianna Fáil will be in the running for a second seat.
Ken, tell us about Derry Keating. He's an interesting contender.
He did very well in the last local elections. He got over 3,500 votes. He'd be best described as a sort of a community candidate with good connections to the churches out there, the Protestant and Catholic churches. He's very much a Catholic candidate. He used to be an election agent for Sheila Terry over in West Dublin in Fine Gael, and I think he was with the PDs for a while in his earlier incarnations.
And of course, as Michael mentioned there, Francis Fitzgerald will be running for Fine Gael. A familiar name, but perhaps not so familiar in this particular location.
Well, yes, but she's been out there for the past year, actually behaving as if she was a local TD, going to community meetings, football, you know, celebrations and things like that. She's very much part and parcel of the furniture out in the Lucan area and in Clondalkin, it has to be said. She lives nearby over in Castleknock anyway, so, I mean, she wouldn't be a total foreigner to the constituency. And I think she will be in the shake-up with Joanna Tuffy for that last seat.
Ken, Joanne Spain is one person who we haven't mentioned so far. Now, she's the Sinn Féin candidate. I suppose she wouldn't be in their top tier of potential gains, but she has acquired quite a high profile.
She has in what you could call sort of traditional Sinn Féin territory. Between just two ends of the constituency, Lucan and Clondalkin, and right in the middle there's a corridor of local authority areas like Rolla, Quarry Vale, Neilstown, and what have you. Ronanstown would be another area. And Sinn Féin are very strong there, but I mean, in population terms and in voting terms, there isn't a quota.
Michael, obviously there's an extra seat here this time, which does make it that little bit easier for the sitting TDs. So what's your call on this one?
Well, I think it'll be John Curran, Paul Gogarty, Mary Harney, and then it literally will be nip and tuck between Frances Fitzgerald and Joanna Tuffy. I think it may favour Joanna Tuffy at the moment, but if Fine Gael have a good day on the election day, it could go Frances Fitzgerald's way.
Michael, how do you see it going?
Yes, I see the three existing TDs holding their seats. A battle royal then for that last seat between Joanna Tuffy and Frances Fitzgerald. In a situation where there was a swing to Fine Gael, Frances Fitzgerald would be very strong. As of now, if I were to call it tomorrow, I would go for Joanna Tuffy on the basis that she probably would pick up transfers from Sinn Féin and from the independent Derry Keating. But it's a long way between now and May in political terms.
So we would be looking there potentially at a one-seat gain for the Labour Party. And of course, that is an extra seat, a new seat this time in Dublin Midwest. If we move on to the three-seater Dublin West. Now, before we do that, before we talk about the possible outcome there, we can hear from one of those elected on the last occasion. Joe Higgins is the leader of the smallest party in the Dáil. He's the only Socialist Party TD. This is going to be one of the most competitive constituencies in the capital on polling day. So I asked him if he felt under pressure.
A three-seat constituency is always going to be a hard fight. However, we in the Socialist Party would be quite confident that with the work that we have done in opposing the right-wing policies of the present government, their privatisation policies, that we will maintain the Socialist Party seat in Dublin West.
Yet how much change can you actually bring about when there isn't any prospect of you being in government?
I think that the key to change in many of the issues that are of huge concern to people in Dublin West is the mobilisation of communities and of people power. There is a huge onus on the government in relation to its failures, particularly in providing a proper infrastructure in Dublin West, and we continue to fight on those issues. In fact, the people who we've seen in the last 5 years to be powerless in Dáil Éireann is largely the backbenchers of the government parties.
Are there any circumstances in which you could see yourself supporting either Enda Kenny or Bertie Ahern for Taoiseach?
We will not support nominees from either Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil. They are the parties of the rich. They are capitalist parties. They are parties who pursue the policies of privatisation of public enterprises.
So even then, if your vote was the crucial vote in determining who became Taoiseach, you wouldn't use it?
Well, what difference does it make if Enda Kenny or Bertie Ahern are Taoiseach? Can anyone explain to me any significant difference in policies between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil? They just aren't there. They have the same philosophy. They share exactly, really, the same economic policies.
That was Joe Higgins. Well, Ken Whelan and Michael O'Regan are still with me. Michael, perhaps the safest thing you can say about Dublin West is that Junior Minister Brian Lenehan, he has the safest seat.
Yes, Brian Lennon will hold that seat. High profile junior minister. I would say Fianna Fáil returned, destined for the cabinet. Joe Higgins, I think, very strong as well. Apart from being a very good local worker, Joe Higgins has a national profile as arguably the best performer as a parliamentarian in Leinster House and a man with a remarkable ability to get under the Taoiseach's skin.
Ken, going back to Fianna Fáil for just a moment, there is a second candidate.
Gerry Lynham, yeah. Gerry Lynham, he's a local politician, he's a local party man, and he was chosen as a running mate. I don't think Fianna Fáil believed there's two seats for him there. I think Gerry Lynham's role would be as a sweeper up, just in case Brian Lennon needs transfers, you know, for a quota. But I don't see Brian Lennon needing any transfers. He'll get his quota.
Michael, the third of the sitting TDs is a former junior minister, Labour's Joan Burton.
Yes, and a formidable figure, a former junior minister, lost her seat in 1997, was adamant that she was going to win it back in 2002. It was going to be a battle with Fine Gael. She was marginally ahead, actually, on the first count by just 116 votes, but she held on in terms of transfers. Now, since then, She has been spokeswoman on finance in the Dáil, which has given her a profile on Budget Day and others and other days indeed. So she's had an opportunity in the past 5 years to consolidate her base, but she will be under pressure.
She will be under pressure in particular, I think it's reckoned, from a candidate, the yes. Fine Gael candidate, a man called Leo Varadkar, who got an absolutely massive vote in the last local elections.
Yes, and Fine Gael is relying on him to take a seat here. And this is an interesting constituency, as indeed in the case of Dublin Midwest, where you have the two putative coalition partners actually battling it out for the same seat. Now, that's inevitably, you know, Fine Gael Labour, that's inevitably going to happen. It was he's a very active. He had a very, very good local elections performance. And when you think about it, Joan Burton wasn't that much ahead last time and first preferences ahead of Fine Gael. You have to put him in with a very good chance.
Ken, before we look at the possible outcome, there are a couple of other candidates who we haven't mentioned. Roderick O'Gorman will be representing the Greens here and Felix Gallagher is the Sinn Féin candidate.
Felix Gallagher would probably be the stronger of those two individuals. He will take some votes from Higgins, but those votes will go back to Higgins. The Green Party aren't strong in the constituency, and there's not much point. Even with a very good day for the Greens, Roderick, I don't think, will be a serious factor in the election.
Michael, looking at the figures from the last time, there's probably one other factor that we should take into account here. So far, there's no Progressive Democrats candidate. And Tom Morrissey ran here for them in Dublin West in 2002, and he got almost 2,500 votes. It'll be interesting to see where those go.
It will indeed, and one would think, perhaps, that they would go to Fine Gael.
Ken, is this a straightforward battle between Joan Burton and Leo Varadkar then, or is it a wee bit more complicated than that? Because some people have said to me that they actually see it as a three-way battle for two seats, that you can throw Joe Higgins into the mix as well.
I don't think so. I think Higgins is safe and he'll get transfers from Sinn Féin anyway to get him in. I think it's between Varadkar and Joan Burton. Varadkar probably is the most talked up Fine Gaeler since Gareth Fitzgerald. He's so talked up that I think people think he's going to go into the cabinet if there's an alternative in June. I don't think it's that simple. Varadkar is stuck in, Castleknock, in that sort of general area. He's no presence in the working class areas, which is 60% of constituency, whereas Joan Burton does.
Michael?
Yes, I agree. I think she will win it. I think that he'll put in a strong performance. But I think the fact that she's had the last 5 years to consolidate her base in the constituency and the fact that she's developed a national profile as Labour spokeswoman in finance, I think that should win the day for her.
Interestingly then, you're both going for no change here in Dublin West, even though I think the general consensus over the past year, 18 months, has been that Varadkar must be the favourite.
Leo Varadkar is a very strong candidate. It's not much point thinking otherwise. But there's an awful lot of hype around Leo Varadkar.
Yes, I'd be inclined to agree with that, while he will perform well, sometimes, obviously, a good local elections performance is always an indicator of how a candidate would do in the Dáil. But it is always within a particular electoral area. And in a Dáil election, in a particular constituency, locals are voting on constituency matters, obviously, but some of them are also voting for the government of the day, and we don't know what the swings will be. He will be in with a very, very strong chance if there is a significant swing to Fine Gael, particularly in Dublin, and there is the political health warning of not necessarily using the Fine Gael figures from the last time as a yardstick for this time.
Well, Michael O'Regan and Ken Whelan, thank you both very much for joining us this evening. That's all we have for you. The new constituency of Longford West Meath will be under the microscope next week. In the meantime, a reminder that this programme will be available from Monday as a podcast. You can access it via the RTE website. Thanks for listening.